Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you.
Hello.
When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary.
Be not weary.
In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Well, hello. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you listen to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be about our Father's business, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each and every week we come to you, we bring in ministries and program that makes a difference in the lives of God, people in the life of the community. And we are excited about what the guests we have this morning. I met this young lady out on the, in the mission field, I will put it that way, and I was encouraged by what she was doing. And I was empowered. And I said, hey, I could take advantage of this. I could share this information with someone that needed it. But before I bring our guest on this morning, the call-in number is 310-982-4126. You too could join in the conversation or go back and listen to this interview again to find out some more information about what's going on. When I say find out, because sometimes we said something you may have missed, it'll give you an opportunity to kind of go back over it again. Now, that number again is 310-982-4126. Again, we'd like to say thank you for listening to this program. So we're excited about what's going on. We'd like to say hello to our founder and CEO, Beverly Beasley, at Granny's Place Ministry. Granny's Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry that's seeking to meet the needs of our young men and women at risk. Granny's Place Ministry have adopted an apartment unit in the Oak Cliff area. So we go over there each and every weekend, and we just encourage the residents to be strong. Lord, we also have literacy training classes over there, computer training classes, job skill readiness. And so please take advantage of the things that Granny Place offer. Go to our website, grannyplaceministry.org. Without any further delay, I'd like to introduce to you this morning our speaker. And she's going to come on. She's going to tell us about our about her program, and which is our program, because we want to be a part of what she's doing also. But how is that? By just telling somebody that there's help available. This morning I'd like to introduce you to you, Michelle. Michelle is she's an age awareness counselor, and also she works to get people aware of what's going on. And at this time, I'd like to say hello to Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Well, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So introduce yourself and tell us about your program. And, you know, I made mention of it, but you can tell us in depth what's going on.
Okay. Well, my name is Michelle, and I work for the AIDS Healthcare Foundation here in Dallas. We do serve surrounding cities and counties, but we are a Los Angeles-based global nonprofit provider of HIV prevention services, testing, and healthcare for HIV patients. So what we do is we have a few things that we can offer. We have a actual fixed wellness center. It's a fixed site. It's out of the Medical City Hospital here in Dallas. It is located off 777 Forest Lane in Dallas, Texas at 75230. And at the Wellness Center on two specific days, we offer free HIV testing and STD testing. That's chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. We do that testing 2 days a week. We do it on Monday from 3 to 7 and Thursday from 3 to 6. Now, this is a walk-in, first-come, first-served kind of basis. It's all free. Even the treatment for the STDs is free. So we're really classified as, you know, a free clinic. We also offer a mobile unit. In the mobile unit, we go around to different cities, different counties, testing. And a lot of times people like to have us come out to their events. And if you ever want us to come out to your event, all you got to do is go to freehivtest.net and request us. We can put you on our calendar and come on out and test. Now, we also have a spot called Out of the Closet, and it's a resale shop. So basically, we have a lot of people come and they donate to our shop, and we resell. And it's clothes, shoes, bedding, furniture, dishes, and things of that matter. So, but also, and Out of the Closet, which is located at 3920 Cedar Springs in Dallas, Texas, 75219. Tuesday through Saturday, we offer HIV testing from 10 to 7 on those days. So not only can you come shop and get a few things you need, you can get a free HIV test there. And we also own our own pharmacy. So as well as having a place to come get an HIV testing, you have a place to come pick up your meds as well. So we offer a lot of different things, you know, here at AHF. We also will be opening a new clinic right next door to the Out of the Closet. Hopefully it will be up and running in about 6 weeks. It will be HIV and STD testing. So now we'll have two locations in Dallas. We do have a location in Fort Worth off of Beach Street, close to 121 Highway. So we're definitely growing. Even though we're in 38 countries, we're definitely growing. So one of the things I did want to talk to the people about today is, you know, the importance of getting tested. Here in Dallas, as far as, you know, by age groups, when it comes to new diagnoses, 13 to 24-year-olds are getting new diagnoses at the rate of 23%. 25 to 35-year-olds are getting new diagnoses at 34%, and 35 to 44-year-olds are getting infected at a rate of 21%, and the 45-year-old to 54-year-old sector is getting new diagnoses at 15%. So also, we also have a statistics for the people who are living with HIV by age group. People 25 to 34-year-olds, 19% of people in that age group are living with HIV. 35 to 40-year-olds, 25% of people are living with HIV. 45-year-olds to 54-year-olds, 32% of people are living with HIV. And when it comes to 55 and up, 19% of people are living with HIV. Now, that's just by, you know, the age group. When it comes to the actual race and ethnicity and HIV, you know, awareness and new diagnoses and people living with HIV here in Dallas, when it comes to the new diagnoses, 22% of white people are newly diagnosed every year, 47% of black people are newly diagnosed every year, and 28% of Hispanics are newly diagnosed every year. When it comes to persons living with HIV right now, there's 32% of white people are living with HIV here in Dallas, 44% of black people here in Dallas are living with HIV, and 23% of the Hispanic populations. So also what we see here, too, is that when it comes to Hispanic and the African American sector, we are getting infected at higher rates.
Yes,
so,
we are, and I see. Oh my God, that's quite a large number. That's at 22%. Those are the ones that have been tested. Just think about the some that hadn't been tested. Now,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, tell me now. What is the? Do you have the liberty of the information for the zip codes, prevalently that seem to be more? I guess it ain't nothing really in a particular area, but do you have a zip code that seems to be higher tested rating than the other ones? Just the zip code.
75219 is a place that's really high rates for HIV. And if you ever want to know if you're living in a spot that and you want to know what's the HIV rates here, what's going on in this neighborhood, in this area, you can always get online and go to the Dallas County Health and Human Services site, and they will let you know what's going on in your zip code.
Now, based on, you know, this is a disease that's been around for quite a while. Are we making any headway?
Yes.
I'm talking about the medical industry and societies in the number rate, because you give me some number that, to me, they look like they high, but they may not be high because I don't know what the numbers were at first.
Right. And that's the 2014 numbers. Of course, it takes a little time to get all the data in, and they never post in the same year. So 2015 statistics will be coming out soon. And then a year after that, that's when 2016, you know, the statistics will come out. So it does change, you know, year by year. Things do change. So, but the latest statistics I'm able to give you today is 2014.
Okay. Now, tell me something. Now, you know, life expectancy, I know it varies from people, but is it as dreadful as it used to be? Because people had it and they were kind of like draw back from it. Now, I know the medical industry has done quite a bit as phenomenal things regarding the medicine that's available.
Absolutely. A lot of people these days, you know, believe it or not, from my own experience from testing, people are still very, very fearful of getting tested. They would rather not know sometimes. And, you know, what we try to let these people know is that, you know, it's always best to know. You need to be educated on what could happen to you, what is happening to you. So, you know, they are so fearful, but what they don't know is that they can live a good, healthy lifestyle. They can continue to live and do the things that they need to do and want to do in their lives. And so a lot of times we're talking to people and we're letting them know that there's life and love after diagnosis, you know. That's one of the big things. A lot of people feel like they can never find love again. They'll never have those special type of relationships. A lot of people fear their family. And believe it or not, that's the reason why they're not getting tested, you know. And so the thing is that we have to let these people know that there is support. That's why when they do enter our program, especially as a new diagnosis to us, they come in, the first two appointments are free. If we find that if you're low income, no insurance, that's when we get a benefits counselor with you and discuss the ways that we can help pay for care.
Yes.
So you're not alone. It, you know, a lot of people feel they're alone, but they're not alone.
Okay. And I remember some time ago, I did an ACE testing, and I got tested, and I know the fear factor there, just testing people. At least I'll know,
oh, yeah,
you know, if you're getting tested, that's a fear factor that's involved on both sides of it, on both sides of it. Now, we know some time ago that Magic Johnson, he was diagnosed with it, but yet it doesn't seem to affect it. Is that kind of giving people to say, well, if I, you know, I could be okay, and, you know, because if you, you know, tell us something about that. Because, you know, Magic Johnson,
well,
a good thing, but also a bad thing, because people don't realize that he was that he was taking medicines.
Right, and there is a big misconception about him, and every time I would do like a HIV 101 or, you know, a STD education class, that'd be one of the first questions I would get. Is he cured? You know, how did he get it? He has money. Like, everybody has their preconceived notion about it, but it's not necessarily somebody that people look up to, which is crazy. But Magic Johnson, they say, oh, because he had money. Well, we're in a realm now where a lot of the things that he was doing is now affordable to just, you know, us, not just Magic Johnson. So, you know, like I said, people really don't necessarily look up to him. They just want to know. Some people really believe that he's cured, you know. And then you have the other side of it. You have people criticizing him for giving blood and different things of that nature. They're also confused by him because, what? He's giving blood? You know, like, so Magic Johnson, I wouldn't say, is like just somebody that somebody really looks up to when it comes to HIV. I think that what really is going to help people really break that stigma and those bounds are educating themselves and their family being educated, because that's where the true support and everything comes from anyway. A lot of times, you know, people look at these stories, you know, Eazy-E and different things like that. You know, these people were stars and people in the limelight.
Yeah.
And people want real sustenance. So they don't get it really from those stories. They really get it from being educated, having their family being educated, having that real support in their life. And knowing that Magic Johnson is just a regular person. He had money, but back in the day, he needed that money to pay for care. Nowadays, care is affordable to most. So it's just a realistic factor, you know, not being blinded by the limelight and the stories, but actually being home on your own front and knowing that, hey, I can live just as good as somebody famous like him. So it's really something that people need to understand, that they can live good lives. It's not going to be easy road at first. You got a lot of things to learn. You got a lot of things to understand. And the best thing to have is some good support behind you.
Oh, that is so true. That is so. You know what? You really gave us some insight on some of the things, because there's a lot of myths involved with the AIDS and AIDS testing and the diagnosis and the, you know, should I take care of it? Is it okay? It's a lot of things that we just need to go over from time to time. Now, based on your experience, and I don't know very much about this at all, I have to admit, but, you know, there was a time they called it drug mixture or cocktail. Is it still referred to as that, or what is the clinical diagnosis that you're taking your drugs? Is it just your meds? Is it cocktail or what? How they refer to it now?
Well, it just depends on what you're taking. You could have a medicine that is just really one med. You could have a med that's combined of three meds. You can have a med that's combined of three meds and another pill that's just one med. So it really just depends on the individual person. It just depends on where they are in their diagnosis and what's going on with them. It's a really person-by-person basis kind of situation. So some people could have a cocktail. Some people could just have one pill that they take. It just depends on the person.
Okay. Now, as I saw you out in your mobile van, and I saw other mobile vans, is it AIDS Awareness Month? Is it that time of year? I know the weather's right. That's one reason why you're out. But what month do we have AIDS Awareness Month that we set aside, that your company set aside to go out and do the test and make it
aware? The week that I saw you on Monday was actual National HIV Testing Day. So we saw you on Sunday. And the next day was HIV National Testing Day. And, you know, we were just trying to get out in the streets, let people know. That's why we were giving away T-shirts and different things like that. You know, and I didn't mean to offend the pastor by bringing the hats that say the condoms on the front. So I will next time, you know, be more aware of my surroundings and only bring certain types of things.
Well, you know,
sure
I was around. No, you know, you've done good. Because I've done that before, and I'm a pastor, and I was assisting people in AIDS testing out between jobs, and someone said, hey, why don't you do some volunteer work? And I tell you what, we had to give out condoms. And it kind of threw me back, but as I talked to men and women, that they're not going to stop doing what they're doing. But they need to be aware of things until they get to that point to where they need to do it. I didn't like giving them out, but I had to realize that, because I tell you don't have sex, don't mean that you're going to just stop.
Exactly.
But maybe one time you get ready to have it, you say, hey, I don't need to do this. You know, you meet the people where they are, because as you saw the people, they're struggling with a lot of things. And so, so just put it on their mind. You know, some people may not done on them at that time, but later on they say, hey, I need to take advantage of these free services. You know.
Yes.
But, go ahead.
No problem. I just definitely wanted to let people know that, again, we are a nonprofit. We take donations. 96 cents on the dollar goes back into care for our patients. So, just people always come in and they feel like, oh, it's free, but I feel like I should be paying some. And they're so sweet, and I tell them the services are free, but we always take donations, and we let them know exactly where the money's going.
Yes, yes. Now, and I know everything is grant driven and donation wise. Now, if you say y'all are based out of Los Angeles, California, but how many
global
vehicles?
We're a global company.
Global.
Oh, go ahead.
So if this is something you do all year long, but you just made you just kind of really let me put it this way: you do this all year long, but one time a year you actually do more than you normally do, or you just get more out? What's the difference between you doing it all the time and just the national day?
There really is no difference, because believe it or not, our mobile unit was not out on National HIV Testing Day. Now, a lot of different people tested, you know, a lot of different agencies, you know, but those national days don't necessarily dictate when we do test, but a lot of times when we do have times like that and somebody wants us at a particular event, like we were at the Juneteenth event recently, and where Big Frida and Kiki Wyatt came out and performed. And but like I said, it's really just what we do is we go out into the community and we talk to people. We let them know where their services, you know, are needed. And what they do is they call us and they say, hey, we need you, and we come.
Oh, that's great. I tell you what, then, we have an event coming up here, but I was at next weekend, so I'm afraid that I would like you to be a part of what we're doing, but at such short notice, I wouldn't want to put that burden on you and your staff. But we're going to keep you in mind for any upcoming events. And, what you do is a good thing. Because I deal with jail ministry, and I know that a lot of times everyone dealing with things, they say that jail is running. There's a thing, say, is it more, now, do y'all get a chance to test the people in jail? Or do y'all have anything based on, some people say in jail is higher than it is outside, but do y'all have any numbers on the one that's incarcerated?
We don't particularly test the people in jail, but there's other programs out there like MHMR that test inside the jails. So there's definitely, and when I used to work with MHMR, we actually tested out of rehabs. So there are definitely different pockets of different sectors and different places. But we personally at AHF have never really tested inside the jail system.
Yeah. And you know, that was a myth. We got a phone line. Our phone line is lighting up, and we have a couple of callers, or someone may want to ask you a question, get some comments regarding what you said. Now, before I bring them on, that was at one time when AIDS was first being known and made aware of, people was talking about drinking, utensils, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was kind of a myth, but yet we wasn't for sure about those things. Could you kind of just make mention of that, like just touching someone's hand, giving them a hug?
Yeah, people need to understand that.
Things like that. Even serving, you know, because we were scared of people serving in restaurants. Oh, my God, my waiter may have something. My waitress may have something.
Right. Right. What people need to understand is they're not going to get it from a toilet seat or kissing somebody or touching somebody. There has to be a direct contact with certain fluids. And those fluids are breast milk, seminal fluids, vaginal fluids, and somebody's blood, their actual blood. And so sometimes I have to really make the connection for people because they're not understanding, well, how can I have been exposed to this or that? You know, or I tell them, hey, you could, you know, fighting, selling drugs, different activity can get you exposed to people's blood. And so, you know, sometimes they don't understand the connection, so we have to make that connection. What people need to understand is they need to stop equating HIV to a sexual act, because there are so many different ways to be exposed to people's different fluids and blood to come in contact with HIV, not just sex. When you start equating HIV to sex, you start saying sex is bad in nature, it's bad, and it's something that as we do as humans. But that's the thing, that stigma needs to be pulled back. You know, you can be exposed to these fluids in other ways. Like me, I have a what they call it, an occupational exposure.
Right.
So I have a whole routine that I got to do just in case I get an accidental poke or anything like that. So we really need to take that derogatory overcast from sex and really understand that there's many other ways to contact HIV and not just through sex. And, you know, we need to take that negative connotation that people put on, I'm clean. Just because somebody contacted HIV doesn't mean that they were out there doing something that they didn't have any business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so. Thank you for sharing that with me, because I've been doing volunteer work in that, and I took a class, and they gave me a class on our training saying how to manage your discomfort. And there's a sense of discomfort on both sides of the table, but yet I see that you're able to manage that, and to the mm-hmm. sense they give you the comfort and assurance that you're able to share that with someone else that may feel like that there's no hope, that's lost. And you say, hey, wait a minute, let me tell you the facts about it. Let me get rid of some of that myth that's involved in this. And that give you a person a sense of peace, you know? I give them
the one
peace,
thing
that,
I do want to say.
You don't have to. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, this day and age, people put the responsibility of not getting HIV on the positive person instead of putting the responsibility on themselves. And that's a big problem in this day and age. They expect
that's something
there.
You know, I see what you're saying, because a lot of times people, they want to blame someone else and not themselves. I like that.
Yeah. So it's all our responsibility, not just the people that are newly diagnosed or been diagnosed for years. It's on all of our heads and responsibility to keep this thing under control.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, let's check the phone line here. We have a call on the line here, and we'll see if we bring him in here. Good morning, Mr. Dan. You're on the net.
Hi.
Good morning. We have Michelle on here. She's HIV testing and prevention and counseling. So she's on the net now. Do you have a question for her, or you just care to listen?
Yeah, I got a question for her.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing all right.
Like you said, most infections are, you know, occupational, you know, made, and others are. I know that at first, a lot of people didn't know that there was a lot of doctors that really basically were infected with AIDS, and they never told anybody. You know, a lot of them were afraid to tell people because they were afraid they would lose their, you know, the clientele. I think most of the first,
and a large amount.
A large amount of them. And basically, they kind of got eradicated because people really, when they found out that, this guy is operating on me and he's infected with this virus, you know. As you say, what is the percentage of the infection rate among African Americans and Hispanics? Are they higher than any other minority race?
We are. We definitely are. The CDC came out with an article stating that in the next 5 to 10 years that, you know, over half of black gay males in the Dallas area will have HIV, and a fourth of the Hispanic population will have HIV. So that's a big thing to be afraid of. I mean, a huge thing to be afraid of. And not only is let's just take women and men. When it comes to new HIV diagnosis, just by gender, men are being infected at 81% rate, while women are being infected at 19%. You know, and so, you know, but back to ethnicity, we are the highest rates. You hear it on the radio, you hear it in articles, you hear it on TV, you hear it on the news. I know people do, and when I go out to see and test, like South Dallas and different areas, and go out and see our folks, you know, there is a reluctancy. A big reluctancy. Now, some people, they come out and just fine and just excited, but for the most part, when it comes to going out testing Hispanics as well as black people, there's a reluctancy there. There's a fear there. And a lot of guys ain't going to say that they scared, but a lot of men out there, that they scared. Every single person that gets on my van and sits down on this side, they all eventually, before they get out their truck, say, I'm scared. And, you know, when I go out in the community, it's, you know, when it comes to our folk or anybody, I don't force nobody to get tested. I've had somebody at the fixed site the other day. He got to the computer to sign in, and then he left the computer. So I said, sir, you know, do you want to get tested today? He said, I'm scared. And I tell him, look, I know you might not be ready right now, but when you are ready, you come back and see me. You know, and I want to be that voice in his head.
Yes.
I know a little bit about the process of, you know, deciphering the AIDS. Now, what level of T cell rate is there before there are any kind of signs of this disease? So, you know.
Well, when people contract HIV. You know, they don't know they're sick right away, and your body even doesn't know it's sick right away. You know, it has to.
Mm-hmm.
It after a while, it's like, oh, wait a minute, there's something foreign here, and your body starts to fight. But a lot of people walking around with HIV, they don't know they have it, and a lot of people find out in the emergency rooms. And when they go to the emergency rooms, they complaining of, you know, coughing, sore throat, fevers, and different things of that nature. And they come to find out they have HIV. And a lot of times when you first get sick on HIV, you're sicker than you've ever felt in your life. And what's happening is that some people, their T cells have dropped below that 200 mark. When your T cells drop below that 200 mark, you are in the danger zone. You're in the danger zone. Your immune system is just left wide open with hardly any protection. And so, like I said, a lot of people go into the emergency room all the time complaining of a cough or, you know, a sore throat, fever, and they diagnosis of HIV. Didn't even know they had it. Once those T cells is dropped below 200, it's no longer considered HIV. Then it's considered full blown AIDS.
Oh my God. All right. Well, Michelle, I'm afraid we got to end this interview now. You've been a great guest. I love the information you shared with us. Thank you, though, Mr. Daniel, for the question that was rendered. You know, we're going to have to revisit this again sometime. And where are you located at, and how often are you going to be out in your mobile van? Give us some information so someone can just say, hey, I need to make my way over there and get tested.
Right. So we are out in the mobile van Tuesday through Saturday. Thursday through Saturday, a lot of the times we're out in the at the bars, we're on the party scene, and we test from 7 at night to 2 in the morning. Those other 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, we're out and about during the day in different cities, Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, Houghton City, just wherever we decide to go, and we go out and test. So Tuesday through Sunday at the Out of the Closet, we test 10 to 7. Mobile unit, we test 5 days a week, and then you can come out to our wellness center out at Medical City at the hospital where we test first come, first serve, walk-in 2 days a week, Monday 3 to 7 and Thursday 3 to 6, and you just get there before we lock the doors.
Okay. Now, what's the website? Do you have a contact number if someone wants to just call up and say, hey, I'm coming over? Because you can just take walk-in. Nobody has to have an appointment or nothing, right?
Nobody has to have an appointment at all. And the number out at the clinic is 972-383-1060. And they'll give you any information you need. But like I said, it's walk-in, first come, first serve, and it's all free.
Great. And before you go, I want to thank you for being a guest on the program. You gave us some information we can use. We pray that people take advantage of this information and let them know that aid isn't the final decision. It's up to them to take matters into their own hand. Like you said, we quit blaming other people and just take ownership of what's going on with us. And you gave us some great information, and yet you gave us a sense of comfort and an assurance that this don't have to be the end of it, that we can live a long and productive life with this dreadful disease if it's being diagnosed that way. Thank you for what you're doing. You keep doing what you do, okay?
Thank you so much.
Great. Look forward to having you be a guest at a later date.
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you. Oh, what a great interview that we had there with Ms. Michelle. She was telling us about the AIDS awareness and prevention and how you too can be a part of what's going on. Amen. And so we have our next guest on the line. We're running over a little late this morning, so we're not really late. We're right on time. Brother Daniel, thank you very much. Brother Daniel, hold on for a few minutes now because we're bringing on Evangelist Alexander. She's going to come on and tell us about the power of God. Amen.
All right.
Good morning, Evangelist Alexander.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Alexander.
Oh, Pastor Alexander. God bless you, Evangelist Pastor. You are Biddy Hessel, one calling. Well, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for being a guest on our program. We pray that you've been blessed by what you heard shortly, how this young lady was a part of an AIDS prevention. And we have to realize that we're of the world, but we don't have to be a part of what's going on. God is greater than anything that we can ever face. But he called us to take matters into our own hands. I remember when Jesus healed people, he said, now go show yourself to someone that can give you a diagnosis that you've been healed. And see, you got something else like that in your life that you want to share with us. Tell us about what God is up to in your life.
Well, I'm a pastor at Valentine Pentecostal Church. My husband is the deacon. I would have rather for that to have been reversed. He would be the pastor, but he won't take it. He won't accept it. He's just my helper in the Lord, my financial overseer and everything.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for my healing. miraculous healing that I received in 2007 and 2008. I was still going in doing my pastorship duty at Valentine Church on Wednesday night for Bible study and prayer meeting, and then on Sunday morning for Sunday school and morning worship. My husband was driving me like driving Miss Daisy because I had terrible migraine headaches. I've never had migraine headaches. The headache was located over my left eyebrow in the middle of my forehead, and it penetrated down to the eyebrow. It was such pain that I'd never had before, so I went to my doctors. I'm a long-time patient, and I have primary care physicians at Baylor where I had all of my children on Gaston Avenue, Baylor. And they ran tests for aneurysm. They did the CAT scans and the neurological test, all kinds of tests. And they finally decided that they saw a brain aneurysm. And they sent me over to the neurology clinics on Swiss Avenue, really the neurology hospital. And they continued to do a series of tests. And send me home every day, no medicine, no anything, just still with the same severe headache. Being in a delivering ministry and my mother having been a faith healer, but by this time my mother has Alzheimer's and she's in the nursing home. But Valentine Church has always been a deliverance and healing ministry.
Amen.
But you have to pay a price of fasting and praying to really receive all the gifts and everything that God has for you. I was preaching and still talking about the goodness of God, how he heals, saves, and delivers, but it seemed like I couldn't get any healing or deliverance for that. So I was on my bed one day crying out to God. I had teenage son and a teenage daughter at home at that time. One just finished high school and one was getting ready to go to college. But when I would get home, I couldn't stand the camaraderie of my family. I couldn't stand noise, TV watching, music. So I would migrate to my bed, and I was sitting on the corner of my bed watching gospel TV. I was watching a TV evangelist from Lakeland, Florida, which was becoming very popular at that time because they were showing the pictures of this white man that wore a short pleat T-shirt, and he had tattoos all over his neck and his arms. You could tell he'd been out in the world, but they showed pictures of people driving up there to get their healing. I didn't go anywhere. I stayed right there with gospel TV and watching that man, and one day that man was praying. I can't even remember his name. All I know, it was a great move in Lakeland, Florida. I was watching it. I was there on the corner of my bed. And when he began to pray, I said, Lord, you got to help me. I can't keep ministering and doing this, Lord. I need you. I want to be completely whole. And I know you heal, save, and deliver. I reached my hand up as giving a praise and a wave to God, a wave offering. And as I raised my hands up, something went up from the bottom of my stomach all the way up through my chest, and something went out. That's all I know. But I knew God had healed me right then. Now, the next day, I still had the headache. It was still tremendous, but it was lesser. I could tell that it was much lesser than it had been. Every day thereafter, I continued going to the doctor, doing my church duty, pastoring, teaching Sunday school, preaching, delivering folk, but I was still sick. So, you know, I kept on taking those CAT scans and MRIs, but it took me from September of 2007 to May of 2008 to receive my full healing. Every day after I stretched my hands up and felt something go up and out of me, I knew I was healed from that point. But every day thereafter, the headache became lesser and lesser every day. Until finally, in May, it was all gone. By that time,
amen.
I was driving my car, and I was able to drive for one more CAT scan, MRI, and all kind of neurological tests that they were going to give me. After the test, the doctor had me sitting in the office, and he went into his office, and he had the door halfway closed and halfway open. I could hear him in there rattling papers. But I was sitting up on the bench just with my tennis shoes on, my cap, feeling good, my comfortable clothes, because I'm driving my car now. I'm waiting for the doctor to come out and give me this last report. I heard him shuffling the papers, but I kind of walked to the doctor. Are you going to ever come out of there? He said, Miss Alexander, we can't find nothing on this last MRI and CAT scan and these neurological tests. We can't find nothing. I said, no, you can't, doctor. The Lord healed me, and I know exactly when he did it. Although it's taken me 8 months for this terrible migraine headache to leave, but it's gone now. It's been gone for some time. I'm driving my car, doctor. So
God is good.
God is awesome. He really healed me. My sister-in-law that lives on the street behind our church, she had a brain aneurysm about 4 years ago, but she had to go to Parkland, and they took some kind of nerves out of her groin in her right leg, and she had the brain aneurysm surgery, and she still had the scar from it in her head and everything, but she says she's fine, but she can't stand long because that nerve that they took out of that groin in that right leg bothers her all the time. But I thank God I don't have any more headaches. I don't have a brain aneurysm anymore. God healed me completely. My mom used to say being a faith healer, and they called her a faith healer. Her name was Pastor Lois Faye Berry. She was there before I took the ministry on. Well, she was used to say that some healings are instantaneous, and some you just have to wait on. I had to wait on mine, and I believe I had to wait because I didn't have much patience. Everybody wants everything quick right now. They want microwave food. They want it right now. But I had to wait and stay prayerful, and God healed me, and he took that thing away from me, and I just praise God.
Hey, man, that's a testimony right there because, as you stated earlier, we all have to wait on that. Be patient on the Lord, for he's an on-time God. Now, you do some other things that I like for you to share with us also. And God has truly been blessing you and your ministry, allowing you to do a video clips of some of your sermons. Tell us about that and how we can go about viewing some of the things and being empowered and impacted by what God is sharing with you to share with us.
Okay, I've been making quick word sermons, and they're what
quick
I call
word
quick
sermons
word
is,
because
all
quick
right,
words
God bless you.
15 minutes or less, 15 minutes or less, since 2013, 14, and 15. We have the video equipment at my church. My church is Valentine Pentecostal Church at the corner of 1400 South Ewing and Genoa, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Those videos, I had already called and got the prices for what a 15-minute slot would be on the radio here in Dallas, and I knew we couldn't afford it. But so I went on to YouTube and Facebook. So you can see some of those 15-minute or less sermons on YouTube, and it's entitled Last Days Hope. And you can also see them on Facebook/ Deborah Alexander Wearing the Purple Suit. Those sermons are where I come straight from the Word of God about somebody that's been set free, healed, delivered, or someone that needed salvation. And just to give you a brief knowing of what they're going to be like, I have all kinds of sermons. I have sermons on the man with the dropsy and the woman that was bent over double for 18 long years. I use these sermons in my preaching, because I'm a storyteller, and I like to characterize these characters in my voice, and I like to show enthusiasm, and I just sort of tell a story about the man with the dropsy and the woman that was bent over double, and show how Jesus healed them back in that day. And my main scripture that I stand on is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that's why I use those types of things. I talk about the 10 lepers, belief and doubt. I talk about zealousness for the church today, how we need to be zealous and about our Father's business in a
yes.
happy way. Because nobody wants what you got if you're sad. Why we need to go into the service and consecrate ourselves and ask the Lord to take over the service, Lord, and just feed my soul. And we need
Amen.
To do that on bending knees, or while we go in and sit down in the sanctuary, you need to pray and ask, you need to get ready for the service, in other words. You just need to talk to God in your mind if you don't want to get on the knees and say, Lord, I'm here today. My ears are wide open. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. I need you. And so we'll have something to take back through the work week that can help us with, you know, these old trials and tribulations in this day and time.
You know, and that is so true, though, because each one of us as Christians, we've been challenged with our faith with things going on in the society and on our
mm-hmm.
jobs and our personal life. Our faith is being challenged, and sometimes we lose hope. Well, I'm glad to hear there's a voice that's in the willingness
right.
of shouting and hurling out, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that our God is the same
right,
yesterday,
right.
today, and forevermore. Pastor Alexander,
mm-hmm.
God bless you. I'm enjoying this. Our line of conversation here. So tell us now about your quick sermons. Now, if someone would like to go out and view some of your quick sermons, where would they be? Where could they view them at?
You could view them on YouTube under Last Days Hope. That's the name of the ministry, Last Days Hope. Last, L-A-S-T, Days, D-A-Y-S, Hope, H-O-P-E. Or you can look on Facebook under Deborah Alexander, and my name is spelled Deborah Alexander, and look for the one where I'm wearing the purple suit. Or
Amen.
Pretty soon
Roger.
I'm going to be on Ustream.com. That's coming up real soon.
Okay. Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you were sharing, you know, we got a few minutes here, and you got my curiosity up. You know, you say you had a couple of quick sermons. Give us a two-minute one right quick here while we have our list. Give them a glimpse of what they can expect when they go to YouTube.
Well, when you go to YouTube,
ones?
if you're looking at the one where I'm wearing the lime green suit, I just have a lot of enthusiasm. When I start that sermon, I tell people that Jesus is blessing from the front door to the back door, and that I'm happy, and I'm happy in Jesus, and I'm usually up there raising the service into enthusiasm, because a lot of people come in and they just slump down on you, go to sleep. No, I can't have it. I'm praising the Lord. I'm jumping. I'm moving around with that mic. I'm telling them, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Why don't we praise him? He's been so good to us, he left us in the land of the living. Then I usually give my testimony on that one. That's a good one. If you find me there with the lime green suit, that's the one where I'm going to give my testimony. So, and I'm sure that I use somebody in the Bible to talk about that was sick or that needed deliverance or accepted salvation, like Zacchaeus. I have one called Zacchaeus where he accepted salvation. And Jesus said, salvation has come to your house today, Zacchaeus. Come on down out of that sycamore tree. I'm going on with you. And Zacchaeus was just ready. He said, Lord, if I've done anything, which he did, he cheated people out of high, heavy taxation back then. He cheated the Jews out. And he was called a tax collector, and he was the chief of tax collectors. He said, Lord, I'll give fourfolds of whatever I've taken from the people. I'll give it back, Lord. So, in other words, he was paying restitution, and he was ready for salvation. There's a point where I talk to the people and ask them, are they ready for salvation? All they got to do is believe in God the Father, Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So all of those scriptures that I talk about, people that were healed, set free, or delivered on my quick word sermons, there's always a plug in there for the people of today, how he can heal today, how he can set free today, how he can deliver. And we don't want to forget peace. In the 14th chapter of St. John, he says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And that's Jesus speaking in the red writing. And a lot of times people come in and I minister to them, And I just speak softly in their ears and give them 14th chapter of St. John about the peace and about Jesus having homes up in heaven, the mansions, and how he has one for us. And, you know, I don't believe in calling people out and telling them, you know, what they're doing. I just whisper because it's for them. It's for nobody else. I don't believe in embarrassing people. God said to do things decent and in order. So sometimes I'm pretty quiet when I'm working with an individual and trying to set them free and deliver them. That's all I have to say.
And, you know, and I agree with you on that because as I do jail street and prison ministry, and I don't have to tell nobody that they're a sinner, they're going to hell. They already know. I'm telling them there's a way out.
Right.
You know? I feel like tell a drunk. You ain't need to tell a drunk he's a drunk. She know he's a drunk.
Right.
You don't tell
you don't embarrass anybody.
She knows she is. So, but you tell
right.
them
that
there's
love
a way out.
You.
And I liked it. I liked it. That's great. God bless you now. Pastor Alexander, this has been a great interview, and I thank you for sharing your gifting with us this morning because someone was empowered and impacted, and someone is allowed to go a little further by hearing your testimony and how you never gave up on God, and God surely never gave up on you, how he continued to show himself mighty in your life. Now, you could be somewhere relaxing, but yet you sat to spend time with the Father this morning. God bless you. God bless you. This is a religious program.
Thank you so much
for having
me.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, this is a religious format type program, but also a community awareness. So you hear people on here, we talk about what's going on in community, AIDS prevention, we talk to entertainment, but everything's based in the Word of God.
That was
we
wonderful.
We have good Christian people, you know, that's let us know. And I like the way God has set this up because we heard the human side, then we also heard the spiritual side of healing. You know, man said, hey, go to the doctor. And Jesus, after Jesus healed people, he said, now go show yourself to the priest. And the priest was that local doctor. The priest was that one that announced healing in your life. And like you wait on that doctor to give you healing, but God had already healed you. You know, Jesus ain't offended with that because he know that we are fleshful people, that we're living in humanity, and we need to hear those things there. But he said, hey, I already told you. But for me to validate what I said, you go to that doctor and let that doctor tell you. And so I love it. I love it where you just give a confirmation. You say, I already was healed, but you kept going to the doctor. You kept following the doctor's instruction. But we know that our Lord and our Savior is that medicine. He's that healing agent. But you have to be obedient. Just like the prophet when the young lady told the king to go down there and dip in the Jordan River,
I love that.
His name was saying, I don't want to go, but he had to be obedient, right? He said, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
Now,
I
told
that
you
one.
Do something else, you would have done it. You know, doctor said, hey, take these pills and then you come back. Well, you go back, but you didn't take the pill.
The thing is, they never gave me nothing. No pills for headache, no nothing.
That's a powerful testimony. That's powerful.
Praise the Lord.
Get out of here. We want to thank you. Again, give us the name of your church and how we can get in touch with you on your YouTube clipping for your 15-minute sermon, Sarah. Amen.
Okay. Well, my church is Valentine Pentecostal Church, 1400 South Ewing, and the cross street is Genoa. Actually, the church is between Morrell and Illinois. It's been there for years. My number is 214-356-8967. Deacon Charles's number, if you can't get me, is 214-212-7974. Y'all be blessed.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. And you have a great day in the Lord. And we're looking forward to talking with you and having you to be a guest at a later date to tell us about what God is continuing to do in your life and the life of God's people.
I'm praying for y'all, Minister Lewis.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. Oh, what a great testimony that we had there. Pastor Alexander talking about the power of God in her life. And as we go on with the program, we would like to just thank each and every one of you for being a listening guest on our program. Welcome to our internet studio. And so as I can say those things, we have our co-host on the line here, Brother Daniels. He's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Hey, good morning, Reverend Lewis. There was some exciting guests we had on today. And it basically, like you said, it gave us two views and view sets of information from both sides that doctor can hear you, and Jesus can hear you.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing how God ordered that, though, Brother Daniel, you know, because we had from the physical side and also from the spiritual side. And guess what? And they both is being accepted by our Lord and Savior. I love that, man, because Jesus, you know, he told them, hey, after you've been healed, go show yourself. You know, go to the doctor. Do what he tell you. But you already been healed.
You know, I can really attest to what the first lady was talking about. You know, I've been tested for HIV, man. Those few hours, days, man, were some of the scary days in my life I ever been through, because what's happening is, man, you start thinking about all the things that you did and all the people and sexual things that you did. Well, you know, and you kept wondering, man, I hope, I'm praying, Lord, that I'm not sick. I'm praying. Then when you get the result, it's just like, woo, the weight of the world drops off of you, man, you know. Lord, thank you, Jesus.
And I did the same thing. After I was testing and I worked in that industry as a volunteer, I actually didn't do no blood or no testing. I just kind of hung around. But just I did a fear factor with just hanging around people that had potential having AIDS. That's scary. You in a room full of men and women that got AIDS. You say, wow, I'm scared. Maybe that stuff will jump off of me. But if you're ill-informed, you'll be scared of those things there. But we want to thank, though, Pastor Alexander, man, how she said how God healed her, man. And that was powerful.
Amen.
We have testimonies, Ricky, that our God is awesome, brother.
He's
he
awesome.
Said high and looked low, and he have no respect of person. He said, come just the way you are. You broken, you beat up, you battered. I give you rest and an assurance, and I restore you.
Man. And you know, like, I think it was a part in the Bible where, you know, Jesus said basically he couldn't do no kind of healing or nothing around the people that were really familiar with him, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There wasn't no faith. Oh, man, that's powerful, that brother.
They didn't say, well, we know you. How can you do something like that? We've been knowing him since you were a little boy.
And every time he went back, he never could do nothing. So basically, he left those people alone.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes
understand that's one set of people Jesus just didn't mess with no more, you know.
And that's what the gospel tells us. You know, once we share the gospel, we wipe up, dust off our feet and go on. Because some people, man, ain't going to believe it. Some people won't believe it. They know how God is working and dwell in your life, but they say, keep showing us more. Give us another sign. Do something else that we may believe. Well, I'd have quit living like that. Well, show something else. I'm keeping a job. Well, show us something else. I'm back with my family. Well, show us something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we just might believe you. Well, great. Well, we thank God that our faith justifies what we're doing. Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to get out of here, brother. We got a minute or so. Tell us what God is doing in your life, man, and get us out of here with a word of prayer when we finish.
Well, Reverend Lewis, you're like, me and you, we got some set of plans set up for a street ministry. And before the summer is over, I plan to go out on the streets. I plan to go out the streets and start witnessing to people and tell them that you got hope.
Yes.
You got hope. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose your sanity. Don't lose your pride. Don't lose self-esteem. There's always room for improvement through Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? He won't leave you forsaken. He won't leave you hungry. You know what I'm saying? I confess it, man. I don't know how I'm going to make it from day to day. But so when I get up some mornings, I look around, there's somebody come up to me, Rev. Lewis, and give me some money, offer me something, you know, fired out, you know, that this guy called me for jobs all the time. You can test that, can't you?
Yeah.
You know, he's working, man. I mean, I don't know about money, man. You know, God supplies all my needs.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that
we'll
he
do
does.
For
all right, brother.
You ask, let me believe.
We about ready to get out of here, man. We got 30 seconds. Close us out in a word of prayer if you have a desire to do it. And you and your family have a blessed and safe weekend at 4th of July day, okay?
Yeah, everybody be safe. Heavenly Father,
protect us and guide us and put your hand of protection about all the people on the highways and on the road today. Protect them from any kind of hurt. Don't let them be killed in any kind of car wrecks or collisions. Don't let anybody be influenced by the enemy to drink and be able to get those bad DWI tickets that put them in incarcerations and just mess their lives up. Touch them, Lord. Touch them and instruct them that Jesus is the only way to go. In the name of the mighty Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, that Brother Daniel. Until we meet again, you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And again, Brother Daniel, never give up on God, and God will never give up on you. You have been listening to another great episode of Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you. I love saying that because we're informing you about the power of God. We're encouraging you to be strong in the Lord, and we're challenging you to never give up on the Lord. Amen. Brother Daniel, God bless you, brother. And as we get ready to get on out of here, we want to thank God for what he's doing in the life of the believers. And as always, we never want to get weary and well doing and never give up on the Lord. So, Brother Daniel, be strong, okay? And we'll talk later. God bless you.
Yeah, I'm good.